Welcome back to Counting to Five, a podcast about the United States Supreme Court. In this episode, I'm going to preview a case called United States v. Microsoft, which is going to be argued on Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. Now, this case, United States v. Microsoft, is about extraterritoriality. That is, what effect does a U.S. law have when you go beyond the territorial jurisdiction of the United States? And the specific law at issue here is known as the Stored Communications Act. And this is a law dating back to 1986. It governs the access to electronic communications that are held by an internet service provider. So specifically, email. What does the government have to do when the government wants to obtain someone's email record, someone's emails? A criminal investigation, if the government wants to get a hold of someone's email because they think it has evidence of criminal activities, what can they do? And there are several methods provided in the Stored Communications Act that allow the government to obtain emails. Part of it depends on how recent or old the emails are, and depends if they what type of information they want about those emails. But what's at issue is one provision that's known as a 2703 warrant. Now, this particular provision of the Stored Communications Act, it allows for these warrants, known as these Section 2703 warrants. These warrants are issued by a neutral judge. They require the government, in order to get this kind of warrant, to specifically describe the records that they're seeking and to show probable cause that these records contain evidence of a crime. And so if they can go to a judge, present evidence, probable cause that these records will have evidence of a crime, and describe the particular type of the emails that they're seeking, then they get this warrant, and the email subscriber does not receive any notice of this. They get that warrant, and then they can go with that warrant to the email provider and demand that these emails be turned over to the government. So the facts of this particular case, Microsoft operates several web-based email services, and the one that's at issue here is MSN.com. And what happened is the United States got a warrant related to a drug trafficking investigation for a MSN.com email account that they believed had evidence of this drug trafficking investigation. Now, they went to Microsoft with the warrant that they received, this 2703 warrant, and Microsoft refused to turn the emails over because those emails are stored not in the United States, but on a server in Ireland. The district court ordered Microsoft to turn the emails over. Microsoft appealed. The Court of Appeals reversed, said the warrant doesn't apply because this is outside of the United States. The emails that are being sought are not physically located in the United States. They're located in Ireland. So the basic argument here, the distinction between Microsoft and the United States in this case is where does the Stored Communications Act apply? Or when does it apply when you have international situations? Microsoft says the Stored Communications Act really only applies when the emails are actually physically located in the United States. The United States says, on the other hand, when this warrant is served on Microsoft in the United States and Microsoft can access these and access and disclose these emails from the United States, then it should apply regardless of where in the world these things are stored. And the basic there's kind of a couple themes here that this shows a conflict that comes up fairly often in these issues of internet governance, and it's kind of a conflict between the way we often think about the internet as this global network where web pages and other data can be stored anywhere in the world, and just with a click of a button, it can be displayed at any computer, any internet computer. Connected computer anywhere in the world, and we kind of think of the cloud and these other internet concepts as just these kind of global placeless phenomena. But in fact, everything is located somewhere And territory-based laws and governance still plays a important role in the way that businesses and what they can and cannot do on the internet, and what restrictions and what laws they have to follow. And the issue here is the particular section of the Stored Communications Act. This is section 2703. It has language that says, a governmental entity may require the disclosure by a provider of electronic communication service of the contents of a wire or electronic communication. It goes on to say by obtaining a warrant. Now, that says nothing about where this applies. It doesn't say anything about the territorial application. Everyone agrees that there must be some sort of territorial limit, but there's disagreement over exactly what that territorial limit is. No one argues that this actually authorizes the United States to demand everything from anyone anywhere in the world, even if it was a foreign country, a company completely located in a foreign country dealing only with foreign citizens and everything was stored abroad. No one argues that it applies there. But the question is, where does the territorial limit apply? Is it, as the United States has argued, when there's control over the data from within the U.S.? So if there's a U.S.-based corporate presence and they have access and control to the data, even if it's outside of the U.S., does it matter where the email account owner is located, whether that person is a U.S. national or is located in the United States? Whether the nexus of the investigation is in the United States, or as Microsoft has argued, is it limited to when the data that's actually sought is stored, physically stored in the United States? Then the statute doesn't explicitly say. And there's a general principle in law that's called the presumption against extraterritoriality, which says that when Congress writes a law and doesn't specify a geographic limits to where that law applies, there's a general presumption that it only applies within the territory of the United States. It doesn't have extraterritorial application. But here, that doesn't get us to the answer here. Even if we assume that that applies, it doesn't tell us what basis we're drawing that territorial limit on, because the United States says, well, yes, that presumption against extraterritoriality applies, but that applies to the question of where whether the entity has control of the data from within the United States. So that presumption against extraterritoriality doesn't get us the whole way there. So the question is, how do we characterize the statute, and where does the statute, can we look at the statute and figure out where it is drawing a line, and what are the implications of drawing the line in different ways? So the United States makes a number of arguments. I'll kind of run through the argument, the main arguments on each side of this case. And the United States argues that the focus of the statute, the important part about the statute, is disclosure of user data. So the issue is not where the data is stored originally, but where is this data being disclosed? And here, that's happening domestically. They're asking Microsoft to turn this data over in the United States to United States law enforcement officials. And they point out that the statute places no limits on Microsoft as far as its internal access to the data. So Microsoft, under the Stored Communications Act places various privacy-based limits on the ability of providers to disclose customer data, customer emails, but it places no limits on the internal access. Microsoft can access users' documents, that even if they're overseas or otherwise outside of the territory of the United States. And the U.S. argues that user privacy is really only violated once that data is disclosed. And so when that disclosure happens domestically, that's within the territorial bounds of this statute. They also make the argument that this warrant, even though it's described and as a warrant, it's the 2703 warrant, it actually functions more like a subpoena. And subpoenas are orders that are frequently used in a variety of settings to obtain data from companies or individuals. And when someone issues a subpoena, for example, to a company like Microsoft, a subpoena doesn't authorize the government to go in and search. But what it does is order the recipient of the subpoena, so Microsoft, for example, to comply with the terms of the order. And subpoenas usually apply broadly to any information that's under the control of the recipient, without regard to where that data is specifically located. The government argues that even though this is titled a warrant, it really functions like a subpoena, and the same rules that apply to subpoenas should apply here. And it's really because Microsoft has access and control of this data, that's all that matters, and that's enough. They also make some kind of practical arguments. They argue that taking the territorial approach allows deliberate circumvention of the United States' access for law enforcement purposes just by choosing to store the data abroad, because it was just a business decision by Microsoft to store this particular data in Ireland rather than in the United States. A company providing email services could just try to avoid being subject to U.S. law enforcement by storing all of its data in a nation, foreign nation, where it was difficult for the United States to gain access to that, even if the company had the exact same access to that data internally that they would have had if they had stored it just right here in the United States. It would also allow individual users who wanted to avoid easy access by the United States. It would incentivize, you know, some criminal user who didn't want to be subject to these U.S. law enforcement searches to just choose a email provider based in a foreign country who stores all the data abroad in a foreign country, and then it would allow them to dodge this access, even if the United States had access to the, even if that company was subject to the United States' access because it was based in the United States, the data would be safe because it was stored abroad, and users could take advantage of this. Now, the United States has a series of agreements that are known as mutual legal assistance treaties, and or they're referred to as MLATs for short, mutual legal assistance treaty, or MLAT. These are agreements, international agreements on cooperation in law enforcement, and they provide methods for when one country seeks information for law enforcement purposes that's in another country's jurisdiction of another country, they can go through these MLAT processes to obtain that information from the foreign country. The government argues that these MLATs are really not sufficient for this particular situation. And there's a few reasons they say that. They say that, first of all, the United States doesn't have these MLATs with everywhere. They only have them for maybe around half the countries in the world. And the rest, there just isn't a treaty in place right now. And the other is that these can be very slow processes. They can sometimes take months or in some cases even years to work through the entire process and eventually get data from some foreign country. And that's just not practical, not really usable. The government also makes a few arguments about why using a strict territorial approach is really unworkable in practice. Now here, this was actually a relatively simple scenario in that Microsoft could say that the data that they were seeking for this particular email account was stored on a server in Ireland. But that may not always be the case. The data for a particular account or a particular user may not have a single unified stable location. The example that's been used frequently is Google, and Google actually, in some cases, will divide a user's data over multiple different servers that could potentially be in different countries around the world. So a user may have an email account with tens or hundreds or thousands of emails in it, and those emails may be spread over computers in various different parts of the world. And in some cases, a single email may even be stored separately from its attachments. So the email might be on a server in one place, and the attachments might be in a different server, possibly even in a different country. If the government wanted to piece together that email data from a particular user's account, they might need to obtain it from multiple different countries. And that could require going through the cumbersome MLAT process multiple times in multiple different jurisdictions. There's also a possibility that the data could be frequently moved. Google moves around user data just for purposes of its own network management and handling, you know, responsiveness and just other internal reasons. And that can be create timing problems if the government has to go through these international approval methods and the data is stored in country A and the government starts walking through the steps to seek assistance from country A. And by the time they are moving through the process, it's been moved to a server in country B for reasons having nothing to do with the investigation, but just the practices of that internet service provider. So they argue that that's just not really workable. Another argument it comes kind of from a different direction. The United States argues that the United States itself has certain obligations, international obligations, that require it to have this sort of access. So for one example is the United States is a signatory to a treaty known as the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime. And under that convention, signatories to the convention agree or they say that they will have legal authority to access computer data that's under the control of persons in their territory. So that if they're going to cooperate with other countries on a cybercrime investigation and the person of interest is in a particular location, every signatory from the treaty is supposed to have legal means of accessing data that's under that person's control. The argument here is that a strictly territorial interpretation of these warrants would mean that the United States is not in compliance because there may be people within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States who the United States no longer has access under this process to their data. And so that would be out of compliance. A similar argument was actually made by the United Kingdom in an amicus brief in this case, arguing that this territorial view would interfere with United States cooperation with requests from the UK for data from US providers, so that the United Kingdom, when it has law enforcement investigations that involve a United States person, they seek assistance from the United States to obtain that data. But if that data is in some third country, the United States would no longer have access to that through this 2703 warrant process. So that would interfere with that type of problem. An issue that's been raised that I'll come back to in a few minutes by Microsoft is that the United States' approach, the argument that anything that's under the control of someone in the United States can be ordered to be turned over regardless of where it's located, that creates some international conflicts of law because other countries have, for example, data privacy laws that require countries to safeguard the data of their customers and to not turn it over without certain types of legal process, and that the United States' demands for this type of data would conflict with those data protection laws other places and place a company in a bind where it's unable to both comply with the law enforcement requests from the United States and with the data privacy laws of another country. The United States has argued that that's a largely speculative concern. They don't think it's as serious as it is, and they argued that the government is able to exercise discretion where there is such a conflict. So where the United States is aware that the request would create a conflict, or where the company comes back to the United States and says that they would be violating some other country's laws by complying with it, that the United States could work with them and exercise its own discretion to avoid that type of conflict. Now, there's a lot of amicus briefs in this case. The U.S. Was supported by a number of U.S. states who argue that the law enforcement action access should not be restricted territorially. But there's quite a few foreign governments and foreign organizations that opposed it, often arguing, emphasizing either the importance of territoriality for privacy protections and data protection laws in various countries, and the need for respect for foreign law and the dangers of one country asserting kind of a unilateral control over things that reach out internationally, and also often emphasizing the important role that treaties can play in resolving these issues rather than relying solely on an older U.S. Unilateral United States law. So let me turn for a minute to Microsoft on the other side of the case and some of the arguments that they make there. So Microsoft focuses on some of the specific language of the statute and focuses on the statute refers to communications in electronic storage. So it's talking about data stored electronically, which suggests that the location of storage should be the focus of where you draw the territorial boundaries, not disclosure, which isn't kind of the main focus of the statute. So disclosure isn't really the main focus. So that shouldn't be what you're looking at when you're deciding where do we draw the line on this presumption against extraterritorial application. And they argue that just as a matter of United States law enforcement, a seizure occurs just where the data is stored. So the United States is actively would be seizing this data in the territory of Ireland if they're demanding that Microsoft take that turn over that data that's currently stored on a server in Ireland. then Microsoft also argues that the interpretation pushed by the United States would have some kind of very broad and potentially damaging effects if taken to its logical conclusion, because it would basically say that if the focus is just disclosure, and if this law only applies to United States disclosure of this data, then the flip side of that is it suggests that the Stored Communications Act actually provides no protection for the foreign disclosure of information. And this would apply to foreign disclosure to any other government or whatever. If you're saying that where we draw the territorial limits is where the data is being disclosed, then why couldn't a U.S. company with data on a U.S. person stored in the United States turn that data over to a foreign government or some foreign party with no issue under the Stored Communications Act because there was no disclosure in the U.S. in the United States? For example, there's been concerns about China seeking information on dissidents, and there's been concern that China has sought or has been very interested in seeking information from American companies on Chinese dissidents in order to kind of crack down on political speech that's disfavored. Under this interpretation, Microsoft says, if a U.S. company had data stored even in the United States, but they had a presence in China, China could demand under this that the U.S. turn over that information in China. And the company would currently, if something like that happened, the U.S. company would at least be in the position to argue that they could not do that because United States law protections, data protections under United States law would make that illegal under United States law, but under the interpretation where disclosure, the Stored Communications Act only applies to U.S. disclosures, then they would no longer have that argument. That would be perfectly legal and they could do that. It also invites the invasion by U.S. law enforcement of foreign privacy. For example, you could think of demands for sensitive government documents from a foreign company that has data of foreign government officials, for example. And the argument is that the Stored Communications Act doesn't just apply to the federal government, but also gives the authority to state and local law enforcement to obtain these electronic data. And so this would allow, for example, local law enforcement to dig into sensitive foreign information from foreign countries, and as long as it was disclosed in the United States, to argue that there was no extraterritorial concern about that. The Microsoft also responds to some of the United States' arguments. The government's concerns about circumvention would also equally apply to non-digital searches. For example, a physical item that was stored in a safe deposit box, a country or individual seeking to make that less accessible to United States law enforcement could store that in a physical safe deposit box located in a foreign jurisdiction, and the United States wouldn't have easy access to that, would have to go through foreign treaty processes in order to obtain that item that was placed in some foreign location. Same thing with, for example, a United States company. Think of, for example, a hotel chain that had hotels located in foreign countries. In the United States, law enforcement could get a warrant to be allowed to search a room in the hotel or to ask hotel staff to search on behalf of the government under a warrant. They have no such access to a hotel room located in a foreign country, even if it's the United States company that controls that hotel. They have to go through foreign processes in order to get access. And then Microsoft points to the possibility of conflicts with foreign governments, especially related to these data protection laws. And they point out that foreign governments, including Ireland, protested when the warrant was issued here. So this was an issue that foreign governments actually did raise issues about. The European Commission has said that the EU's General Data Protection Regulation would apply regardless of the existence of a 2703 warrant. So that the only exception provided for law enforcement purposes under Europe's data protection laws is when data is sought pursuant to a treaty, not just a unilateral action by some foreign government. And there's actually an amicus brief that talked about companies that have actually faced legal sanctions in Brazil from the Brazilian government for complying with United States requests for data. Microsoft also specifically responds to the argument that the government makes about treating these warrants, these 2703 warrants, as equivalent to a subpoena. And they make a few arguments. They argue that first they say there's no basis for blurring together warrants and subpoenas. This is referred to explicitly as a warrant and follows the processes for obtaining a warrant from a court. So just presumptively, this should be treated as a warrant, not a subpoena. They also point out that subpoenas, they normally apply to a company's own records. If you're subpoenaing records from Microsoft about its own business practices, its internal policies and records, that's one thing. But subpoenas generally don't give you access to data that's being held in trust for a customer. So you can't generally subpoena Microsoft to obtain Microsoft's customers' email data. They also argue that the language in authorities that provide for subpoenas, so statutes and rule court rules that allow subpoenas, generally have very different language. They usually have explicit language referring to access to materials or information in the possession, custody, or control of the recipient of the subpoena. But the Stored Communications Act doesn't use that language. Instead, just refers to materials in electronic storage, which Microsoft says brings you back to the focus on the storage itself, which would suggest a territorial limit on where that data is stored. That's kind of some of the arguments they make against the subpoena argument. They also argue that the government's argument about circumvention by storing things in a foreign location is actually already possible, even under the government's interpretation, by using a wholly foreign email provider. So there are email providers who are located completely outside of the United States and have no U.S. presence, and their email isn't accessible even under the United States' theory because there's no U.S. entity with control over that data. There's also some other practical arguments. One is that the position being taken by the United States government is further undermining United States tech companies. It creates an international fear or disincentive for foreign companies to want to use United States providers of technology services because they're placing their data by using a U.S. provider. They're placing themselves under the United States' ability to access and go through their data. And this is already that's been an issue for U.S. tech companies since disclosures a few years ago of United States intelligence data gathering from U.S. Providers. And that's caused certain foreign companies and foreign countries to very publicly say that they were either discouraging or trying to prevent the foreign companies from using certain U.S. Internet providers for data storage because of the concern that the United States government was abusing their access to that data. And so this kind of the argument for Microsoft is that this will have the same negative effect for U.S. companies. They also refer to the MLAT process, that's those mutual legal assistance treaties between countries, and they point to the MLAT, in this case, the United States and Ireland, they have such an arrangement. Ireland cooperates fully with these requests that come from the United States, and Ireland apparently can respond to urgent requests from U.S. law enforcement within days, so not the months or years that are of concern. And Ireland actually had filed an amicus brief in this case and very explicitly stated that they were fully willing to cooperate in this particular case under the MLAT, and that the United States could have pursued this MLAT process and did not need to go this unilateral route. So, you know, that's just a, you know, that's particular to Ireland in this particular case and doesn't necessarily speak to the broader question of the Stored Communication Act's scope generally, but it's just an interesting fact about the United States' approach here. And the big issue that Microsoft kind of raises, that brings up, is that, yes, there does seem to be a questionable fit between this Stored Communications Act, which is this 1980s era law, and it may not completely fit with modern email practices. There was no thought back in the 1980s that some person here in the United States might have their email data scattered across a dozen different countries across the world. The internet, as we know it now, just did not exist like that at the time. But the argument is that those gaps or those poor fits, to the extent they exist, are not the courts to fix. Those are problems. If they are problems, those are problems that were created by a failure to update this 1980s law to fit modern realities. And that's a job for Congress, and Congress can go in at any time and create fixes that would try and address these territorial concerns, either just through updating and improving the Stored Communications Act to make more clear how it should apply to these extraterritorial assistance or extraterritorial situations, or maybe even better, to engage in more kind of vigorous multilateral treaty agreements in order to try and have more uniform international processes to obtain this type of data. So that pretty much sums it up for the major arguments on each side of this case. This case will be argued on Tuesday, February 27th. And again, as with all of the court's cases, the opinion can come down anytime before the court leaves for its summer recess at the end of June. And that's it for this episode. Please subscribe to Counting to Five on YouTube or your audio podcast app of choice. And for timely coverage of the latest developments at the court, please check out Counting to Five's weekly YouTube live streams. And in those live streams, you can ask your own questions in the live chat, and we do our best to answer them. We're currently broadcasting these every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, but please check the Counting to Five YouTube channel to see when the next scheduled live stream will be happening. And I'm always looking for feedback. Please leave a comment or send me an email at mike@countingtofive.com. Thank you for listening. This has been Counting to Five.